Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you join us. And together with Tracy, Andrew, and Claire, let's make bringing your drives to life practical and fun. In our drives and action episodes, we'll share stories of drives at play in everyday scenarios so you can relate and gain deeper understanding of your drives. In our Driving Impact episodes, we'll sit down with incredible guests who are using the Drive framework and tools to create meaningful impact, both professionally and personally. Whether you're here to better understand yourself, your team, or simply curious about living a thriving and inspired life, you're in the right place. So let's dive in.
Hello, everybody. My name is Claire. I'm with Andrew and Tracy. In our last episode, we unpacked the supporter drives. In this episode, we'll be unpacking three ways of relating to others in the Engagement with Drive framework.
The drives that we are discussing today are how we relate to others in interpersonal situations. The includer and confidant drives are sensing drives. Includers can sense when people are feeling left out. And they can sometimes do this even when they're surrounded by people. Confidants can sense authenticity in others.
I will start with defining the networker drives. As a networker, you are drawn to people, all people. You will thrive in environments where you can connect with many people, including strangers, and where you have something to promote, sell, or advocate. Because you naturally want to win others over. Your greatest strength lies in how quickly you can put people at ease in interpersonal situations. Find a common point of interest and build rapport. You need to interact and connect with people, and you are energized in social environments, especially if there are new people to meet. You may therefore be drawn towards events where you can socialize, network, and interact with as many people as possible. You are probably charming, charismatic, well-liked, and often seem to know everyone. And chances are good that most people will know or remember you because of your charm and warm energy. Others will find you easy to get along with. However, some introverts may get drained by your ongoing social energy. Does that sound like you? Do you sound like you could possibly be a networker? What are the needs of the networker drives? To meet and connect with new people, very important. To win others over and to be liked. So let's have a look and have a discussion around the booster drives that go with networker. So we have the networker articulator combination. We also have the enthusiast combination, and we have networker includer. Claire and Andrew, what do we want to share with our listeners about the networker articulator drive?
Well, networkers and articulators are both outgoing and thrive on social interaction. Articulators engage others through conversation and storytelling, while networkers engage through their charm and ability to find a common point of interest.
I'll take the network enthusiast. Both are outgoing and thrive on social interaction. Enthusiasts engage others through their positive energy, lightheartedness, and fun, while networkers engage others through their charm and ability to find a common point of interest.
And then our networker includer. Both are welcoming, thrive in the company of people, and build rapport naturally. Includers are driven by the need to welcome and include the outsider, while networkers are driven by the need to connect and win over the newcomer. Remember, we have the three different domains. So all these drives are about how do we relate with other people and the need to have that interaction with people. What it looks like with those different drives. And then, as we discussed in previous podcasts, about the contrasting. So what are the drives now that kind of have an opposing component to each other? Claire, what do you want to share with us about that?
So I'll take on the networker confidant. Confidants are drawn towards people they already know, whereas networkers are drawn towards meeting new people. So it's the opposite. That's why contrasting.
Networkers and contemplators contrast each other because contemplators like time alone. People with a strong contemplative drive are not typically socially confident, whereas networkers like to be around others and they are socially confident. Now, just because you're a contemplator doesn't mean to say that you may not have skills around being socially competent, but typically contemplators are quite happy to withdraw in a social context and to be by themselves.
Beautiful. So we've gone through the boosters and the contrasting drives. And then amongst the three of us, are any of us strong networker, articulator, or enthusiast, or includer, or contemplator, or confidant?
Okay, so I am a social butterfly of note. And I would have thought that when I did my drive assessment, that networker would have been up higher. But it actually isn't. But being an enthusiast makes sense. With me being the social butterfly that I am, lighthearted, fun. But network, that's a neutral for me.
And then, Andrew, do you want to share with us a little bit about your confidant drive?
You might find that in your dominant drive energy, you have none of the relating drives. And the way to consider that is to look at your drive assessment and to see where those drives are. Basically, all it means, if they're not in your dominant drive energy, is that other drives have stronger energy. So when you're looking at how people relate to each other, look in your neutral drives as to what drive comes first. And you'll pretty much find, and just remember that it plays out in situation or context with a neutral drive where you may be able to interplay with that. But what's your stronger drive in your neutral drives? And you may find that you have a tendency to go there. That's when a drive becomes, one of these relating drives becomes a drainer, that it can become interesting. So network and confidant is a wonderful dynamic to watch between two people, because confidants, and we're going to get to explaining confidants a little later on, but confidants have a authenticity radar. And networkers are very socially competent. They're great at building rapport. They're great at putting people at ease in a social context. But very often, the strong need of the networker drive is to win people over, whether that's in something that they want to win you over with, something they want to sell to you, or that sort of thing. So typically, networkers have an agenda. Now, the interesting dynamic to watch is confidant with that authenticity radar, because confidants can sense when a network is coming to them with some sort of agenda. Networkers have a strong need to be liked. And confidants are quite exclusive about who they allow into their relational network. A networker may perceive that the confidant's not as open, or that they're not being able to win the confidant over as easily as they anticipated. The dynamic that's quite interesting is to see, okay, that didn't work. Let me try this side. No, that didn't work. Let me try this side. Networkers will do that to a point, and then they'll think, okay, this is too much hard work. Let's go to the next person. That's typically where networker and confidant can be an interesting dynamic.
And then I'll just share, I was coaching somebody the other day that had confidant networker their top 9 drive. So this can also happen. It doesn't mean just because they contrast that it's going to be a drainer for you. Can have the contrast in your top 9. And it was quite interesting because her number 1 drive actually was confidant. For her, authenticity is everything. But because she's also got networkers, so she will, it's very situational for her, right? If she's going into a new place and meeting new people, she feels at ease meeting new people, building rapport. But as soon as she starts detecting that person is not being authentic and genuine, that confidant radar kicks in. So it was quite interesting talking to her about the situation. Who does she want to spend her time with? Because as Andrew said, one's an inclusive drive, one's an exclusive drive. So you can have them in your top 9 drives.
And it's very possible to have all 3 of these relating drives as dominant too. But what you will tend to notice is which is the stronger drive energy and what's your natural tendency? Because with confidant, where it's built on trust, loyalty, and authenticity, you may find that they've got exceptionally good abilities to be socially confident and the social butterfly and all the rest. But in terms of inviting them into your relationship and your relational space, that's going to be driven by trust, loyalty, and authenticity.
The values. Definitely. So for me, I've got confidant and it's a little higher up in terms of if I needed to measure anything. And like I said, because I'm an enthusiast and because I do enjoy people and I'm a social butterfly, I do keep my circle, my inner circle, very small, with the confidant being that high. So it's not in my dominant, it is a neutral, but it's not, yeah. So I totally get what you're saying.
So Claire's going to now take us through the included drive.
And I am going to enjoy doing this one as well, because like I said, I am a bit of a social person. But when it comes to including, I'm a little bit more exclusive. As an includer, you're drawn to people with a strong need to include everyone. You probably have a strong sense when someone is excluded and then make an effort to draw them in and include them. Therefore, you probably tend to support the underdog or those who are marginalized. For you, there's always room for more at the table. You may also have a very strong need to be included yourself and hate exclusivity. You are probably relied on to make sure everyone feels welcome and taken care of and gets involved. You take up this role with ease and confidence, and you are more to be the glue that keeps people together. Includers want to increase the value of inclusiveness, teamwork, and engagement, and their natural energy. You're a team player, and you will naturally pull people together and thrive in conditions where there is unity and teamwork. So as much as you want people around, you want them to also be involved. The included drive needs, however, is to include but also be included. They don't want to feel excluded for any reason. And they may actually be offended when someone is excluded. And they also rally for those who are marginalized. That's a need. They want to rally for those people. So for discussion, we're going to go through the booster drives and then we're going to go through the contrasting drives. Boosters, there's only 2 of them. Includer and integrator and includer and networker.
So include and integrator, both are inclusive and appreciate diversity. Includers are the glue that hold people and relationships together, while integrators are the bridge builders who fundamentally believe we are all connected and therefore separation is just an illusion.
Interesting.
And included networker. Both are welcoming. They thrive in the company of people and build rapport naturally. Includers are driven by the need to welcome and include the outsider, while networkers are driven by the need to connect and win over the newcomer. So you can see how they boost each other. You can see how they have similar qualities to each other.
Very similar. Let's look at the contrasting drives. There's 3 of them. Include a confidant, include a contemplator, and include an impact player.
So the includer confidant. Includers want to stretch the circle wider and invite everyone in, whereas confidants are very selective over who they want to bring into their circle, and they're very protective over their personal and relational space. And so who is allowed into that space is going to be built on trust, loyalty, and authenticity. Includers and contemplators, includers want to include the loner, whereas contemplators need time alone. And it's important to understand that because an includer has a sense. They can sense people who are feeling excluded. But sometimes for a contemplator, they're very happy being on their own. And an includer will see them and think, shame, we need to include them. And it's the last thing that the contemplator wants. Just leave me alone. I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll stick on the last one, includer impact player. And I think this is where it contrasts a lot for me, or makes a lot more sense to me, is because impact player is my dominant drive. And includers want to slow the bus down and ensure no one is left behind, whereas impact players only want those who will make an impact on the bus. So they only want to include the people that's going to help making an impact, whereas includers like, no, everybody needs to join.
And feeding on from what Claire's just said, it's important to realize that inclusion is such a part of your nature that you will include without any prejudice if it's not managed well. And ironically, you will have a prejudice towards exclusivity or exclusion. Sometimes your need to include can override your social and emotional intelligence if in a situation or relationship. And it's important to understand that inclusion is not always a good thing by default. There are situations where sometimes including people can actually have a detrimental effect on the team that you're working with. And again, like we've mentioned with the contrast, there may be people with different drive types that need time alone or that don't need to be part of every single thing that happens. Impact player, include me when I can make a difference. And that's important to remember as an includer. And part of managing the includer drive well is to understand that your need to include needs to be managed well so that you don't cross boundaries of other people. I think it's also important to just note that accept that exclusion is not synonymous with rejection. Also accept the fact that as an includer, you may well include someone and then be excluded by that same person. And it's not necessarily done with a negative intention in mind.
Great. Andrew, are you going to take us through the confidant drive now?
Right. I will now define the confidant drive. As a confidant, you may be more introverted, but tend to get along with everyone. You may not have a lot of people you classify as friends because you tend to protect your personal and intimate space. However, the friendships you have will tend to be very close and very deep. And those close, trusted friendships may go back over decades, and may last a lifetime. You may have several levels of friendships where the inner circle may contain only two or three extremely close friends. While you may have good relationships with those with whom you work, you may still like to make a distinction between these relationships and your personal friendships. You may tend to be drawn towards people you already know and relate well with, rather than having to meet someone new and make small talk. Others will tend to trust you quickly. Yet, you may take time to trust others because for you, trust is hard-earned, and you probably have high expectations of trust and loyalty from others. If trust is broken in any way, you will probably take it very hard and may find it difficult to continue the relationship as it was. You may even cut off that relationship completely. You may be very loyal, supporting the same suppliers, brands, or stores, and having the places and spaces you trust within your immediate proximity. Confidence lived by trust and loyalty. Authenticity is likely to be a strong value for you, and you may quickly sense when people are not being authentic, thus preferring to avoid them. You will tend to thrive in conditions where there is trust and loyalty, and where you can relate to people or places as yours. Confidence drive needs are authenticity, as we have spoken about, transparent and loyal relationships, trust, and familiar places and faces. One thing that I can definitely relate to is that aspect that the trust component is not just restricted to relationships. I have brands that I trust, and it takes time to build that trust. But boy, if those suppliers break my trust, that's it, game over.
Okay, so I will talk a little bit about that as well, because the booster drives here is confidant and guardian. And I've got a very strong guardian. It's in my dominant as well. Confidants are drawn to people they know and trust and with whom they can authentically connect. Whereas guardians are drawn to people with whom they share common values and beliefs. So, yeah, it does. It boosts it. It makes it even stronger.
I definitely can relate to that as well. Those two drives. And the other concept of that is also just in a social context, I'm not the social butterfly like Claire. So in a social context, it might take me a while to warm up, but with enough time and with people that I get to know and I've built a little bit of rapport with, I can be very animated and be more of myself in those situations, but it definitely takes time to warm up a bit.
If we talk about these three people walking into a room, we've got our networker, includer, confident, walking to a room with people like they've gone to this venue. Your networker is going to go to the people that they don't know, right? Because they get energized about meeting new people and what's like, it's opening like a new lucky packet for them. Our confidant is going to walk into the room and go, who do I know? Who do I know? And really gravitate to the people that they know. And an includer is going to maybe go to the people that they know, but they're going to see somebody that's not with anybody and they're going to feel the need to go and say, do you want to come and join us? So just to give an example of how these three relational drives would go about going into a room. And then I just wanted to ask a question for our strong confidants in the room, because it's so important to you guys to build these deep, meaningful relationships where it's all about trust and really spending the time and effort, because it is an exclusive drive and it's very important to you to spend the time. Relationships are everything to you. Tell me about when somebody breaks that trust. How easy is it for you to forgive that person?
Oh, you forgive, but you move on. For me, it was, I forgive you, but yeah.
And are you now exclusive, Claire? So Claire, what advice would you give to somebody that is a strong confidant, and maybe did you communicate your expectations to that other person of what a relationship looks like and means to you?
I think for myself, and I mean, Andrew can chime in as well, is confidants have very strong value systems, very strong values. And initially, if any sort of relationship, whether it's a working relationship, like any sort of relationship, there will be a discussion at some point with regards to what it is that I expect and what it is that I am able to do or give of myself. And the trust factor is huge for me. And like guardian and confidant, it's a booster. And for Andrew as well, it's a booster. So trust is going to be even higher up on the agenda for both of us. And when that trust is broken, I don't know that I can trust you again. I'm going to forgive you, but that doesn't mean I need you in my inner circle.
Fair enough. So Claire, you, if I'm hearing you correctly, you do communicate, because not everyone communicates, right? If you're a strong contemplator, maybe you're actually not communicating. Maybe you're strong, competent, confidant, and contemplating, actually not communicating those needs to somebody. Because if, especially if articulate is a drainer for you and you found it difficult to communicate at the best of times. But that would be something that is important for confident, is to...
I think you remember also that confidants connect with people that have similar value systems. So the minute I've connected with someone, I know that they are authentic, that the value systems, we've had some sort of conversation, oh, you are into this and this is really important to you. So the minute that line in the sand is actually drawn and the trust has been breached, it's very difficult to come back from that, because I trusted you and you basically like broken all of that, because we have the same values and now it's outside of integrity for me, because how do I trust you again moving forward? We had similar trust and values.
But as you, as a coach and all the work and growth you've done, but I'm saying generally, if somebody's a confident out there that is not, that your values, so many people don't know their values, right? And maybe they have these expectations of people, but they're not communicating, or they're not even clear on their values. So for you, it makes complete sense about how you and your relationship and what happens. But
I've broken off relationships, as in friendships, in the past, because they breached their trust or whatever, the trust was gone. And at the time, I mean, like, we know about what a managed drive and what a mismanaged drive is. And it's taken a lot of work for us to get to where we are now, for us to understand these things. But at the time, all I knew is that you broke my trust and it's over. Whereas now I understand you broke my trust, but there's more to it than just like I'm cutting the ties. Before, I couldn't quite explain. I just knew that I was very upset and I would cut the ties. Whereas now I don't get as upset, but I do know that I do need to break the ties, because now security has been breached.
I think that the points that you're making are really good. And with my moderator drive, I have learned the value of clear expectations. And this is a huge thing with confidant and moderator as well, that clarity on expectation really does go a long way in communicating things up front so that people know where they stand. And I think that's an important thing to consider as individuals, is that we do that. What Tracy mentioned earlier is a real thing, where you might assume that the other person should know what your values are or the things that are important to you. But we all know what happens when you assume things about others. You will typically come short there. And it's important to clarify from your own side what's going on. A confidant, when trust has been betrayed, will feel a natural tendency to walk away. But it is important to make sure that if you are going to do that, that you actually check with that person that there were no misunderstandings or miscommunication. Because otherwise, you can cut off a relationship that's been a valuable relationship for maybe years, or somebody that you really value. And you really don't want to go and cut off a relationship with somebody when you've invested that amount of time and effort. And certainly from my side, investing time, commitment, and investing in others does take a lot of energy. A client had mentioned at some stage that one of the aspects of their job that they found really challenging is that it's project-based. And every 2 to 3 years, they get a whole new team that comes on board. And as a dominant confidant, they find that incredibly challenging. One other thing to remember with these drives that are sensing drives, please understand, although your sensing or your intuition might be accurate, never assume that you're accurate. Check in with that person. And it can be something along the lines of, I am sensing that and whatever you're sensing and put it to them and let them tell you whether it is true or not. And one other thing to be aware of with confidant in this authenticity, because authenticity is important for you, know who you are and what things are important for you in terms of authenticity, but also with other people. Maybe you have extremely high standards for what authenticity looks like in other people. And I think that's an area that compassion and grace may need to come into play in terms of they're not you.
And if I can lead on from that, Andrew, you kind of were saying everything that I've just been thinking in terms of, as you mentioned, asking. And so communication is so key. We're human beings, we're complex beings. We all do things differently, and that communication is so important. And when I see all these posts on social media, I love my animals more than people, I wish I could live on an island. Why is it that we are so intolerant of each other? And certainly by doing these drives assessment, we're getting to know each other. We know how we work and what's important to us. And we do need to connect. We need to separate sometimes the behavior from the human, because behavior is a need or a trauma or whatever's coming up. So it's exactly that, communication. Communicate your needs. Ask the other person where they are and what they're thinking and not assuming. Andrew, I agree with that statement.
I agree. And I think for clarity's sake as well, as a confidant, it's not just about who you're going to cut off and who's no longer part of the team, who's been voted off the island type of a thing. There is grace, and definitely in the beginning stages of any relationship or friendship or working relationship, whatever, you're getting to know the person. So it's a trial and error. You're kind of learning, but you would be a little bit more forgiving. Talking about something that's a little bit more long-term, or something where you've really gotten to know the person, or like Andrew said, you've invested in that relationship and you've gotten to know what that person's values are. And when that gets breached, it's not just about me now, it's about that other person as well. And if you've spoken when you're with also broken the trust, how do you come back from that? And I think that's the conversation that we're having. But when it's something that's been a little more long run, or you know what the values are and what's really at stake, I'm not saying it's easy to walk away.
Claire, when I listen to you talk, that strong guardian, strong contemplator, confidant, and the impact player there in a team where you're working with people and building that trust, it's a whole different, we're not talking like outside friendships and stuff. It's that team. You've got to still work with those people. How do you get through that?
One thing that I've done with teams that I've worked with before that were reporting to me is, this might be helpful for any of the leaders that are listening into this podcast. A bit of a values exercise, but then taking it a little further and doing a team charter. And a team charter says that in this team, we value trust. In this team, we value loyalty. In this team, we are forgiving, or we smile and we have fun. But everyone needs to include, they need to put something in, and everyone needs to agree on what their charter is. And when they have agreed what their charter is, it can be a couple of lines, or it can be one line or whatever it is. I know a couple of years ago, they had these, it looked very kitsch, but it was something, people's kitchens, and it was sold at Mr. Price. And it says, in this house, we forgive. And in this house, we say we're sorry. And in this house, so a team chart is exactly the same, but it is for your team. And everybody gets a portion so they can include their value, what they think is really important, or what they think is not important. In this team, we do not tolerate X, Y, and Z. And everybody signs it off. And if you want, you can make it really nice, make it pretty, put it on the wall, in the board.
There's just one final thing we need to clarify as well, is this point on forgiveness. And forgiving people, remember, is not for their benefit, it's for yours. And then there will be times where a betrayal of trust is significant enough that you do need to walk away. So just need to put those two points across clearly as well.
Yeah, and exactly what you said, Andrew, forgiveness is definitely for us, because it can cause so many so many keeping us stuck, and we don't move on from it. And so it's definitely, for even for health benefits, forgiveness is so important. Do we have any other inputs, posts onto our relational drives that we've been discussing?
Look out for how these things may play out in your everyday life. Look out to see how these drives show up in different people. And some of them are obvious, some of them are not. But because this is about how we relate to each other, they are important drives. They're important considerations, both at work and in any interpersonal relationship as a human being. And that's why there should be a strong motivation to put the effort in and to make a difference in that area.
If you are resonating with either the networker, includer, or the confidant, we did discuss the needs of the drive. Make sure your needs are getting met if you are any of these.
Really. And communicate those needs. Yes. Sometimes we don't communicate the needs.
Yes.
And back to Tracy's point, and if you didn't hear it, please consider listening to our podcast on the Contemplate and Articulator. Because as Tracy mentioned, sometimes people with strong contemplated drives remember that communication requires energy and sometimes might not feel the need to actually communicate what's going on. And you will find that managing these drives well and mastering all of these drives, there's a very strong thread through all of them on effective communication.
Definitely one of the skills that we all can learn more about is effective communication.
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. So leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.